Praise the Lord. Amen. What a great day in the house of the Lord. Wasn't it wonderful to have the children minister in the choir this morning? We could worship with them. Bible says a little child shall lead them into the presence of God, and how wonderful to respond to that. I want to again welcome Pastor Craig and Bryce back from the Nepal Missions Conference. Christ City sponsors a number of conferences in the world, different nations, India, Africa, Nepal, and our Pastor Craig was there ministering. He has some exciting reports of that nation and how God is moving, and please come tonight and receive the word of the Lord and receive inspiration to your own life. Well, this morning, it's in my heart to magnify the name of the Lord, to lift up the name of the Lord today, and there's a specific name that I want to emphasized, and that is the name, as you see on the screen, El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. That phrase, the God who is more than enough, puts El Shaddai into very understandable terms. We can't magnify all the names of the Lord in Scripture today because there are dozens of names and titles and designations throughout the Word of God for our wonderful Lord. But we do want to take this one name, El Shaddai. I don't know if you address God as El Shaddai or the abbreviated form without the prefix Shaddai, but perhaps after this morning's message, you will have a new name by which to call your Heavenly Father, the God of heaven, and be blessed by the revelation of that name in your life. He's the God who is more than enough for every situation, every trial, every temptation, every need that we have. He is the God who is more than enough. I'm trying to stay connected to the book of Job for a few more messages, if possible. And one of the unique features of the book of Job is its use of the name of the Lord as Shaddai. It's not recorded there as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but simply as Almighty, Shaddai. And 31 out of 48 times where the name El Shaddai is used in the Old Testament, 31 of those times come in the book of Job. It's a term of endearment. It's a caring, loving word concerning our Heavenly Father. And to me, Job speaks such a powerful lesson to us because here was a man who lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his fortunes. He lost his physical health. He lost his relationships. He lost his reputation. And in the midst of it all, he kept calling the Lord, "You're the God who is more than enough. You're the God who is more than enough." When we face trial, when we face challenges, we face circumstances, whatever pressure is on us, we must look up to the Lord and lift up his name. Sometimes when we face difficulty in life, we become impersonal with the Lord. Some people, when they face struggle and trial, pull back from the Lord. They're not in his presence like they used to be. They're not attending church like they used to be. They fall back to their own ways and their own emotions. Sometimes we can simply refer to our Heavenly Father as God. It's a wonderful word, but it can be kind of impersonal. God. God, God. But the Lord is looking for us to speak to him in terms of endearment, loving terms, speaking of our Lord in a wonderful, wonderful way, and lifting up his beautiful presence. And so whatever we go through, we must exalt the name of the Lord and draw near to the presence of God. One of the great objectives in the ministry of Jesus Christ, it was such a high priority with him, was that he would exalt the name of his Father, make manifest the name of his Father to his disciples and to those that God gave him out of the world. Jesus taught his disciples, when you enter into the presence of God to pray and to worship, the first thing I want you to say is, "Hallowed be your name." Holy is your name, separate is your name. You're high above all other gods. There's none like you. Get your eyes off yourself, Jesus said, and begin to magnify the Lord. There'll be time for your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. But first, magnify the name of your Father. Lift up his holy name. Put your eyes on him, his provision, his life, his character, because his name is a representation of who he is. This is who I am, he says in the names that he provides for us. In John chapter 17 and verse 6, John 17 and verse 6, Jesus spoke a word of the Lord, that of his ministry as he ministered in that final hour and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said these words, said, "Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do." Verse 6, "I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world." I have manifested your name unto the men that you've given me out of the world. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, it's on one of the slides, I believe. Hebrews chapter 2, this is such an important verse. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. There are two things that Jesus is doing in the church. He said, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee." Hebrews 2:13, there are two things that Jesus is very concerned about. One, that worship go to the Father, and secondly, that the Father's name be manifested to those whom he has given him. That's why when we come into the house of the Lord, Jesus is here. Jesus is among his people. Jesus is with his body today, and he's doing two things. Number one, he's stirring us to worship. He's inciting us because he knows that we should pour out abundant praises on the Father. So he comes and he infuses our lives and works within us and puts fire on the altar of our hearts with us so we can magnify the Lord with singing and shouting and clapping and blessing the Lord and magnifying his name. But the second thing that Jesus does, he declares the name of the Father in the midst of the congregation. He's here ministering the name of the Father, all the beautiful names of the Lord that are there. I wonder sometimes how precious it would have been to have been those disciples who were taught by the Lord directly, and how as they would walk the roads of Israel, that the Lord at times would speak to them of the name of the Father. Can you imagine having Jesus go through the Bible from Elohim and Adonai, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, all the names of the Father, opening them up, revealing them? Well, you know, we have the Holy Spirit here. Jesus said, "I'm going to send another comforter just like me, and he's going to minister to every child of God, and that Holy Spirit is going to teach the very things of God and the truths of God to his people." The Holy Spirit is teaching us the same way Jesus taught his disciples about the names of the Lord. And today, this beautiful name, El Shaddai. Let me give you one example in Job chapter 22, verses 23 to 26. Here's an example in the book of Job. If you return to Shaddai, if you return to the Almighty, you shall be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Then you will lay your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook. Yes, Shaddai will be your gold and your precious silver. For then you will have delight in the Almighty, in Shaddai, and lift up your face to God. Isn't that beautiful? If you return to Shaddai, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your homes. Then you will lay your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. For then you will have your delight in Shaddai and lift up your face to God. What promises about the name Shaddai and how we should draw near. Such wonderful terms in the Bible. I feel it very important that we do not simply address God on more of generic or official terms, but that we should address the Lord with terms of endearment. Shaddai, Jehovah, Yahweh, Wonderful, Counselor, Emmanuel, God with us. And the name that's most precious, the name above every other name, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Savior of the world, Savior. We tell the Lord that we love Him. We love His name. We pour out our worship. We become intimate with the Lord in our relationship with Him. Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Let's lift up His name. Let's magnify His name. Let's enlarge our understanding of the names of the Lord, because as we enlarge our understanding of the name of the Lord, His ministry, His being, His nature, who He is, flows into our lives. How many this morning would say, "I'll magnify the name of the Lord with you, Pastor. I'll lift up the name of the Lord"? Let's enlarge Him. Let's get an understanding today of El Shaddai. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. This is the first mention of the name Shaddai in Scripture. The first mention. Now again, in the book of Job, it's simply Shaddai, but often the other word El for God is used. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. El, the power of God, the majestic name of God, the creator aspect of God. But this is the first use in the Bible of the name El Shaddai, and it gives us some understanding of how this name should be understood. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai," in the Hebrew. "El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram," meaning exalted father, "but your name shall be Abraham," meaning a father of a multitude. "For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." How many want to pull in the name El Shaddai today into your life? "I'll multiply you exceedingly. You will be a father of many nations. No longer Abram, but Abraham. I'm going to take the predominant consonant of my name, Yahweh, the H sound, and put it into your name, Abram, and I'm going to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." This name Shaddai has to do with fruitfulness, with abundance, with the multiplication of the blessing of the Lord. Now, I want to go back there to verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect," the King James says. "Walk before me and be blameless, be perfect." And I kind of have to laugh to myself because I think, "Lord, can't you leave the old man alone?" I mean, he's 99 years of age. Whatever he's developed in his faith life and wherever he is in his relationship with you, can't you just leave him alone and let him go on to glory one day in the state he's in? But no, God can't leave us alone. And God couldn't leave Abraham alone, because God is not only the author, but He's the finisher of our faith. He wants to perfect our faith, and Abraham needed some perfecting in his faith, even though he was 99 years of age. See, the desire of the Lord, there's a verse in Job chapter 5 and verse 26 that says, "For you shall come to your grave in your full age, and you will be like a shock of corn that comes to completion." That's desire of the Lord for us, that we grow in the earth, that we grow in His development, that we grow and expand and grow up in faith until we're like a ripened sheaf of wheat. And then He'll harvest us out of the earth and take us to glory. And you know what happens to wheat when it ripens? It's head bows. The more you walk with God, the more you walk in humility. Until the end of your days, God has done such a beautiful work in your life that you stand before Him with a pure and holy spirit like you never thought was possible, because He's taken from youth and your childhood and guided you in His holy ways. Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Now, Abraham wasn't dealing with sinfulness. He wasn't an immoral person. God's not talking about him dealing with fleshly sins, but something else, and that is about his faith levels and his fruitfulness and how he walks with God in obedience. You see, the truth is, if we'll admit it, the flesh sins are low-level warfare. Now, that may be a strong battle for some, but the Bible says, crucify the flesh. Put to death your members that are on the earth. Get beyond that warfare. Don't spend all your life dealing with the sins of the flesh, immorality and temptation and addictions and problems and emotions. God says, I want you to deal with that in the power of my spirit, in the power of the blood, in the power of water baptism, in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Deal with that fleshly aspect, because really God says, I want to get you far beyond that level. I want to get you into fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. A lifetime of serving God, bringing forth holy fruit. And here was Abraham. God said, walk before me and be perfect, be blameless, because Abraham at that point was not blameless in his faith before God. His faith had been marred by his own self-sufficiency, by his own plans, the contriving of his own nature along with Sarah on how they were going to live out their life in this world and serve the Lord. Abram was now 99. When he was about 75 years of age, the Lord first came to him and said, I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to bless you. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Abraham, you're going to have a son. I'm going to give you a son. And through this son, there will be such descendants across the earth that they will be as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. And Abraham believed God. But the years went by, 10, 11 years went by, and there was no son forthcoming. And Sarah and Abraham got together and decided that the handmaid, Sarah's handmaid Hagar, would be given as a wife to Abraham, and he would go in unto her and seed would come, and sure enough, a son was born and his name was Ishmael. But it was the product of their ingenuity. It wasn't the promise of God. And at 99 years of age, the Lord came to correct, and the Lord came to adjust his servant. And he said, Abraham, I want you to walk before me and be blameless. And Abraham repented of what he had done. And he opened up to receive the Lord. And the Lord said, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. I'm the God who is more than enough. When it looked impossible to you, it was still possible for me. And my vision hadn't changed. When you said, God can't provide, we can't have a son, there is no future unless we do something by human manipulation, the Lord said, my vision never changed for you. In fact, the Lord said to them in those chapters of the Bible, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham considered, now it says that the deadness of his own body and the deadness of Sarah's womb, as far as a human situation, as far as natural terms were concerned, there was no possibility that a child would be born, that a son would come. And God came because he's El Shaddai. He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to do a creative miracle in your body. Dead wombs are going to open. Life is going to flow in the bodies of men and women. Life that had been taken, life that through age and other things has passed by. God says, I am the God who is more than enough. I will fulfill my promise and I will fulfill my word. Walk before me and be blameless. And God moved on Abraham and Sarah in such powerful ways that her body was restored and his body was restored, and they brought forth the miracle child, Isaac. And look at the context, as we saw in Genesis 17, of the name El Shaddai. God says, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I am the God who is more than enough. I will make you fruitful. I will multiply you. In fact, I'm going to change your name from a single person, as it were, exalted father, to the father of a multitude. I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. The seed is going to multiply. And one day from that seed line will come the greatest seed of all, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. And the blessing of God will go out to the nations of the world until the body of Christ will be like the sand of the sea and as the stars of the heaven in multitude. El Shaddai came on the scene. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3 says, God said these words to Moses. Said, I appeared to Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of El Shaddai. He says, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And what it means is that Jehovah was not the primary name by which God was speaking in the days of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, contemporary Job, because Abraham did know the Lord as Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22, on the mount of the Lord. It was provided. But God said, I'm giving my name El Shaddai. At that point in the evolving history of salvation, God said, I'm emphasizing the name El Shaddai. I'm putting it down in Scripture so forcibly into the lives of these men that it will remain forever on the pages of the Bible, and that people throughout all ages will be able to call on the God who is more than enough and understand how He moves and how He works. You know what Abraham did? He took that name El Shaddai, and he began to superintended. He began to manage it. He began to care for it. He called on the name of the Lord. He began to call on the name of the Lord in that name El Shaddai. And look at the results that came forth in his life. And the same is true for all of us. If we will take the names of the Lord, and today if we'll take the name Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, and begin to manage, to begin to pray, begin to pull that name and the power of that name into our spirit, it will bring forth amazing results in our lives and in our families, because it's the name of multiplication. It's the name of the blessing of God. It's the name of the sufficiency of the Lord. Now this name, El Shaddai, it's translated in our Bibles as Almighty, God Almighty. And the reason for that is that it's primarily based on a 4th century translation of the Bible, the Latin Vulgate by Jerome. And he translated El Shaddai from the Hebrew as Almighty, and it's come through all of our translations. Now, it's not a wrong word because God is Almighty, but it speaks in a certain direction. So it's too limited. It's too limited. In fact, when you put El Shaddai, or God Almighty, the Almighty is almost redundant because El speaks of God's power, His omnipotence, His ability. El, the Creator God, the God of power and force. And then Almighty is almost largely redundant to say Almighty, God of power again. So there must be another aspect to it, and there is. There is. The ancient rabbis said that Shaddai was put together from a compound word, and it meant who enough. The God who enough. The God who is more than enough because He's more than enough. Or perhaps from two particles that meant all sufficient. Sufficiency, the sufficiency of God. Shaddai is speaking of the sufficiency, the supply, the ability of God to satisfy all the needs of His people. The God who is more than enough. It seems obvious that it's derived from another word in Scripture, the word shad, S-H-A-D, which speaks of the breast. It speaks of the breast of a nursing mother. The supply, the nourishment, the provision that's there to come through to the child can grow and be properly fed and supplied for. That is the image of Shaddai. When God gave that name to Abraham, I think it's so beautiful that Abraham, as a herdsman, had many thousands of flocks and herds. Abraham, when he got up in the morning and he opened the tent door into the sunshine of the day and he'd look out, he'd see the flocks and herds feeding. He saw the little lambs at their mothers. He saw the little calves feeding at their mothers. And he was reminded every day, El Shaddai, you're the God who supplies. You're the God who nourishes. You're the God who takes care of me. Every supply. As well, the word for field, the common word for field in the Hebrew, sadeh, S-A-D-E-H, was used of a cultivated field. And it's a form of Shaddai, sadeh, Shaddai. It's the same words that are there. It spoke of a field that was cultivated, that was prosperous, that was able to bring forth supply, fruit and vegetables and everything to sustain life and nourish a person. God is El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the God who is more than enough. Now in Genesis 17, and I want to look at three or four scriptures, but Genesis 17, the Lord said, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I'll make you fruitful. I'll bless you. I'll prosper you. You're going to bring forth a multitude. Your seed is going to be blessed. And then we come to Genesis 28. Genesis 28 and verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty, may El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you may be an assembly of peoples. Again, we see the word Shaddai involved with blessing, with fruitfulness, with a multiplying. Genesis 35:11, also God said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The context of Shaddai is that fruitfulness, the God who's more than enough. And finally, Genesis 49, verses 24 to 26, the word to Joseph. Prophetic word over Joseph's life, but his bow, Joseph's bow, remained in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The mighty God of Jacob, El. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your fathers who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate, distinguished from his brothers. How many want to be distinguished, even among your brothers? The blessing of the Lord by the mighty God and by the Almighty. Almighty, there is the word Shaddai. God in the previous part of the verse is El. El helps by the God of your father who will help you. El helps. El has power, and the Almighty who will bless you, Shaddai supplies. Bless you with blessings of heaven, blessings of the deep, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph. The name El Shaddai is a name of blessing. It's a name of provision, the God who is more than enough. I'm going to ask the worship team to come at this time and want to look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Shaddai. He that dwells in the secret place, a person that draws close into the presence of the Lord, Jesus said, enter the secret place. Get close to your Father. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the blessing and provision of Shaddai. There was a beautiful song written 15 or 20 years ago by Amy Grant called El Shaddai. Some of you may be familiar with it. Let's read it this morning. There's a couple other names in line two. El Elyon, not Adonai. El Elyon means God in the highest. Lord, or Adonai means Lord or master or owner. And so we begin. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. El Elyon, not Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erkam Kana Adonai, means we will love you, O Lord. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, turned the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. Through the years, you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. El Elyon, not Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erkam Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Hallelujah. We thank God for the revelation of His name, the God who's more than enough, all sufficient, the breasted one, the nourisher, the supplier, the satisfier of His people. And again, as Abraham, let's take this name and let's manage it well in our lives and in our spirits. As we close out this morning, would you close yourself in with the Lord? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. We're in the secret place of the Lord in His very presence as a congregation of the Lord, and we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow of Shaddai, many wonderful things take place in our lives. The blessing, the fruitfulness, the fruitful fields, the enrichment, the multiplication of the Lord. With Abraham and Sarah, creative miracles in their bodies. I've manifested your name unto those you've given me, Jesus said. God in heaven is here to manifest His name. Let's draw Him close to His name. And as we begin to worship this morning, and as you're in the presence of the Lord, why don't you use the term El Shaddai? Say, El Shaddai, I worship You. I will praise You till I die. Say the name of the Lord. Say the name of El Shaddai. Worship Him. Say, I love You, El Shaddai. Thank You, I honor You. Would you do that as we close out today? Call on the presence of the Lord. Let Him minister to you right now in this beautiful, beautiful name that He's revealed.